please, to the book of Hebrews. The whole book. We'll cover it all today. Let's pray. Father, it's always a joy to open your word at Christmas, at Easter, on Sunday, together, anytime, to hear, thus saith the Lord. May you speak to us today. May we hear it, not just in our ears, but in our lives. Of course, we pray this for the glory and honor of Jesus, our Savior, the newborn King. In His name, for His glory, for His honor. Amen. What's your name? Well, you should know that by now. What is your name? Ask someone around you. Hey, who am I? How many titles do you have? We wear a lot of different hats, don't we? Son, daughter, father, mother, parent, grandparent, plus the titles at our work, wherever we work, what you do. The greatest title that you have is Christian. A little Christ. That's who we really are, if we are in Christ. We just happen to be doctors and lawyers and such. And don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. That's just what we do. But our title is, let me ask you again, what's your title? Christian, in Christ, little Christ. How many titles does Christ have? Oh, we couldn't even mention them all. Son of God, Prince of Peace, Savior, Resurrection and the Life, Shepherd, Judge, Head of the Church, Faithful and True Witness, Bread of Life, Living Water, Promised One, Teacher, the Bridegroom, the Gate, the Door, the Way, Servant, High Priest, our Anchor, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's a lot of titles for a baby, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us, the Anointed One, the Christ. A lot of people think that Jesus' last name is Christ. And they use that in a lot of different ways. Jesus Christ. But Christ is who He is. Jesus is His name. It is Jesus the Christ. Is He Christ or is He the Messiah? Yes, that is pretty redundant because Christ in Greek means the Anointed One. In Hebrew, Messiah means the Anointed One. So to say Christ, Jesus Christ the Messiah is like saying Jesus Christ the Christ. Or like saying Ted the wife of Rebecca, the wife of Rebecca. The husband of Rebecca, not the wife, excuse me. Just seeing if you're listening. That wasn't in my notes. It's redundant. Christ, Messiah, the same thing. Different languages. Jesus means God saves. It's the same as the Hebrew, Joshua. Yeshua, God is our salvation. Now, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. That's why everybody looked at me a little weird when I said on Christmas Sunday, open your book, your Bible to the book of Hebrews. And when I said we would cover it all in a few minutes today, I got some really strange looks because we are studying and started studying it a long time ago and we're now just at chapter 7, but we'll sum it all up today. Christ is better. Christ is better. And that's the theme of the book of Hebrews. Christ is better than any Old Testament figure. He's better than all of the prophets. He's better than all of the priests. He's better than all of the kings. He's better than angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than David. He's better than the old covenant. And of course, he brought a better sacrifice himself. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Messiah and Christ also mean the anointed one or the appointed one. Christ is the anointed one. And who anointed him? God did. God said so. In the Old Testament, there were three offices or jobs that were anointed. And you know what they are: prophets, priests, and kings. They were separated from regular life to God to serve God for specific tasks. And there were priests, and there were prophets, and there were kings. But no prophet, no priest, no king was all three. No priest could be a king. No king could be a priest. There were prophets, and there were priests, and there were kings, but nobody was all three. But Jesus, the anointed one by God, who is this baby? Prophet, priest, and king. So look a little closer this Christmas. Who is this baby? Prophet, priest, king. Now, to help us understand that a little better, what do prophets, priests, and kings do? Well, to make it really simple, prophets prophesy. Priests, and kings. King. That's what they do. But let's dig a little deeper. Let's look at all three. What do prophets do? We tend to think of prophets as predicting the future, but that's really not their primary role in Scripture. Much more than predicting the future, a prophet spoke for God. A prophet speaks God's truth. If you've ever read the Old Testament, how many times do you read these words? When a prophet speaks, "Thus saith the Lord," or "The word of the Lord came to me." A prophet never spoke for himself. He spoke for God. Prophets in the Old Testament were mouthpieces for God, never speaking for themselves. And Christ, well, let's cover Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Prophets spoke for God. Prophets spoke against sin. Prophets told you when you do sin, which is quite often, how to be forgiven of your sin. Christ, we'll read your New Testament. How many times does Jesus say, "I don't speak on my own behalf. I speak for my Father in heaven." Christ speaks against sin. Christ offers forgiveness. And if you turn over to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, John begins with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And then jump down to verse 14. The Word, who he's already identified as Christ, became flesh, human, Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate. and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Prophets spoke for God. Prophets spoke against sin. Prophets told you how to be forgiven when you do sin. Christ speaks. And John tells us that Christ not only speaks the Word of God, he is the Word of God in flesh. Speaks against sin, yes. But he not only tells you how to be forgiven of your sin, he offered himself so you could be forgiven. Christ the prophet. Christ the priest. Well, what do priests do? Priests do priestly stuff. What is that? Priests were mediators between God and man, and between man and God. Represented God to man and man to God. And they also offered the sacrifices in the Old Testament that symbolized your forgiveness. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Such a high priest, and that's what we've been studying, of course, is Christ, meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart. That's the same idea as anointed, as Christ. Set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins, catch this, once for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints or anoints as high priests men who are weak. But the oath which came from after the law anointed the Son who has been made perfect. Read that last word with me. Forever. Turn over a page to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have been stopped being offered? Why keep doing it if they accomplished what we wanted to accomplish? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But these sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Then look across the page, chapter 9 again, verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of his creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on them who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Christ the prophet, Christ the perfect priest. Christ, the perfect sacrifice, forever. His sacrifice never runs out. It's never obsolete. Christ, the prophet, the Word of God in flesh. Christ, the priest, and Christ, the king. What is it that kings do? They king. They rule. They protect. They lord, they call the shots. Now, all through the Bible, there were good kings. There were bad kings. The greatest king of all to any Jew, the greatest king of the Old Testament was, of course, David. Don't you like that name? David. It doesn't work at our house. My wife doesn't call me King David. There was no other king ever in their history like David. When David was on the throne, all is well. And the promise that one would sit on David's throne forever. a descendant of David. And the promise was fulfilled in the promised one, the Christ, the anointed, the appointed one of God. And our King, Jesus, is better than David or any other David, because our King had no sin, never sinned. And the Bible tells us who that King is. It is Christ. The Bible even tells us that Christ is David's Lord. Christ rules over all kings. There's no one greater. Christ rules over the universe. He made the universe. He holds the universe together, as we read in Hebrews 1. And when he rules over us, he speaks. And he's our priest. And he condemns our sin, but he gives us forgiveness. And he will not allow sin to rule over us any longer. And not only are we free from sin, even though we still sin, we're free from the consequences. No guilt, cleansed conscience, no death. That's my King. Christ, prophet, priest, and King. The Messiah, the anointed one, Emmanuel, the promised one. In Christ, we are reminded again and again and again, God keeps his promises. And isn't it amazing that the King of Kings is willing to share his kingdom with us? And even some of his titles? Are you anointed? Be careful with your answer there. Well, you're not a prophet, you're not a priest, you're not a king, or are you? Are you anointed? Are you anointed in the sense that you are set apart to God? You know, in the New Testament, there's some places that tells us we are the anointed. Now, we're not the Messiah. We're not God in the flesh. But turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Read the next three words out loud. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Help me with a little research. Let's look over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, Christians, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to come to Bible class or sermons. We don't need anyone to teach us. But we have the anointing of his Spirit. We know who Christ is. And when you put your faith in Christ, guess who else is anointed? You are in Christ. He put his Holy Spirit in us. We are God's anointed. Same word. They're in Hebrews. They're in 2 Corinthians. They're in 1 John. Wake up for this. It is the same exact word that is used for Christ. Are you anointed? Yes, in that you are, what is your greatest title? Christian. Little Christ. You and I in Christ, little Christ, anointed, set apart for service to God, anointed with his Holy Spirit in us. We are anointed to represent Christ. And so therefore, if you are in Christ, you're a prophet. You are to speak the word of God. It doesn't matter what I think, what you think, but thus saith the Lord. What does God say? You are a priest. To mediate between the lost and God, God to the world, you are also to offer priestly sacrifices. What would that be? Now, Peter says in 2 Peter 2:9 to Christians, you are a royal priesthood. So what kind of sacrifices do we offer? You brought any animals today? Any goats? Sheep? Leave them outside, please. Well, you know the answer. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, in view of God's mercy, or when you think about all that God has done for you, in view of what God has done in His grace and His mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. We don't bring animals. We can't take away our sin with any kind of blood. But because of what Christ has done, live your life as a sacrifice to Him. You're a prophet. Speak the word of God. You are a priest offering sacrifices, representing God to man and man to God. But get this, and don't miss this, you're not a king. You may think you are. Queen for a day, king for a day. You're not even king for a second, and neither am I. He will share speaking His word. He will share living a life of sacrifice, but He will not share His throne with anyone. So the question, of course, is always, is Christ rule in your life as king? Don't give me the Sunday school answer, yes, oh, we're in church. Of course, He rules. He's in my heart today. Does He rule your life? Honestly. Before you go, amen, everything in your life? If not everything, then He's not your king. Christ the priest and the sacrifice. Christ the shepherd and the lamb. Christ God and man, the highest became the lowest for a while. And if we were to write the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, even if we were religious about it, and let's write the church Christmas story, it would be a lot different than it actually was. How would you have God coming into the world? We would think He would come riding on a white horse in all of His glory, telling everybody, straighten up, I'm here, I'm God. I'm appointed and anointed by God. We would think He would come, if He would come and be born as one of us, He would be born in the finest hospital, surrounded by the best doctors and nurses. It's not how it was. Came born to peasant parents in a stall, no room, came to die. But we know someday He's coming back. And you know this passage of Scripture very well, but would you turn to it, Philippians, chapter 2. If you have any encouragement, verse 1, from being united with Christ. So let's put those in a form of a question. Do you have any encouragement from being united in Christ? The answer I'm looking for is yes. So let's try that again. Do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Do you have any comfort from His love? Do you have any fellowship with the Spirit? Any tenderness and compassion from God? Then, and you've already committed yourself, you said yes. Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interest, but also to the interest of others. I asked you the question earlier, does Christ rule in your life? And your answer was, let me ask you this. What was the last thing that got you upset at other Christians? When was the last time you got your feelings hurt? Was that Christ ruling? Or me, yourself? He goes on and he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's not the end of the story, though. Neither is Christmas, the birth of Christ. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is the name that is above every name? And please don't tell me it's Jesus. There's a lot of Jesuses. You've met people named Jesus. The name that is above every name is Lord. In our vernacular, that means what? The boss. The manager. The one that calls the shot. John, who wrote the Gospel of John. John, who we looked at 1 John, also wrote the book of Revelation. Let me read at the end of Revelation his vision of heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, John writes, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. What is that name? We don't know. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, the prophet. But in blood, the priest, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword on which to strike down the nations. He will rule, king, with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written. And what's his name? King of kings, Lord of lords. This Christmas, ask ourselves again, is he your king? Is he your boss? Oh, it's easy to say, because we're in church. How about next Thursday night, next Friday morning? Your Lord, prophet, priest, and king. But also understand this, he's not your prophet. He's not your priest offering the eternal sacrifice if he's not your king. Prophet, priest, and king. And today you have a choice. Someday, you will have no choice. What child is this? This is Christ the King. Glory to the newborn King. Let's pray. Father, we have understood your word. We know who Jesus the Christ is. Is why he came, what he accomplished, and that he's coming back. Rule over us, please, in everything, every thought, every attitude, everything we possess, our calendar for the coming year, our bank account, our thoughts, every word we say. May you exercise your authority in the throne of our hearts and our minds. In your name we pray. Amen.